And glory to God, aren't you glad he's God and he has not changed? His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the 6 Eyes Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get the show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord, let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the 6 Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the 6 Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to contact us via email, you may do so by using one of the following email addresses. If you wish to contact me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, use the email address feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, the letter N as Nancy, then touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on the throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, @gmail.com. If you wish to contact Ruth, you contact her by using KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's again K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry @gmail.com. In your subject line, just put what you're in reference to you wanting to get a hold of us, whether it's my email address about whatever it may be, or Ruth, you would put Bible prophecy and then refer in your message to your subject line, and we will not only read your email, but we will get back in contact with you.
Started from humble beginnings in a basement, Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line, ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang. He's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you.
Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Groover takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No. Nope.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2, F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's
sure.
Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com, that's paypal.com, and in the box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6@gmail.com, that's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6@gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are dressed. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. He'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. And Sister Ruth, who do we have with us this afternoon?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We got you, Brother Jim, and me.
All right. Well, obviously, there looks like going to be no mics needing to be open, but we will give an outline of where we're going tonight for everybody.
I take that back. Lila just showed up, and she wants to speak.
Okay. We'll get your mic open there, Lila. Give us one sec.
It is. Sorry, I ended up calling in after all tonight. Son told me I might want to speak my mind later. So I called in.
All right. Well, for right now, Lila, we're going to give a short outline of what we're going to be doing tonight, okay?
Uh-huh.
We're still talking about alcohol and drinking. And specifically tonight, we're talking about the evils of drinking. This is part one, the evils of drinking. And then, of course, in the midst of that part of the study, we'll be having Brother Six and his trying to find out the message in song and poem. And if he gets the right buzzer, obviously no problem there. But if he gets the bad buzzer, he may use sound effects that may affect those who have PTSD and other disorders, such like, so we want to give that warning. Then after we do our study on the evils of drinking and alcohol and drinking specifically, then Ruth is going to come in with her Bible prophecy. And Ruth, where are you taking us tonight?
We're going to do Babylon the Great.
Okay, Babylon the Great. That sounds pretty interesting. And we'll find out what that's all about, Babylon the Great. And then, of course, then we come and open up the mics for everybody so they can have any questions or comments on everything that's presented. Then a closing prayer, and then finally closing out with a Red Soul Vine song. Okay. If you had any questions or whatever early, you could go ahead right now.
Yeah, I just want to ask the listeners that are listening in tonight to please pray for my Aunt Heidi. I found out that she may have had a heart attack. She's in the ER as we speak. I don't know if she had one or not, but she is in the ER. Please pray for her. She needs as much prayer as she could get right now. Please pray for her. Thank you.
Okay. So, other than that, are we ready for a good show, Lila?
Yes, we are, Missionary Wolfgang.
Okay, then let's get started. Get out your note taker, your pad, your pencil, your quick note, whatever, your braille writer, whatever tool of the trade that you use to take notes. And here we go.
For those of you who call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. You'll be able to ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you know anyone who drinks and drives, and what happens to them when they do? Do you know anyone who drinks and drives, and what happens to them when they do? All right. And now we're going to get ahead and get into our topic of alcohol and drinking, specifically the evils of drinking. And this is part one of the evils of drinking. And our first scripture context is found in Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 through 29. Genesis chapter 9, verses 20 through 29. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Noah began to be a husbandman. And he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant shall be he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tent of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died.
All right, now you find here that Noah, he had taken, planted a vineyard, turned the grapes, obviously, into wine, and then he got drunk. Now, some believe that Noah was privy to what his son did. No, that's not exactly what happened. It says, when he awoke from his wine, he realized what his son did to him. Now, let me just explain to you what happened. When you're a male and you're violated in the back door, okay, I'm going to be a little graphic here. So for the little children, go hide someplace. But when you're violated in the back door, it hurts. There's going to be some pain. And not just at the moment that it occurred. It's going to hurt the next day. So when Noah woke up and he was awake from his wine and he's sober, he's got this pain. And he realized what his son had done to him, that his son had done a homosexual act to him. Basically, not only a homosexual act, but rape. That's what happened. That's why, if you notice, that he, when he gives his blessings and his cursings to his sons, that the son who did this was given the curse and made to be the servant of his two brothers. because Noah was not a willing participant. So those who go around saying Noah was a willing participant when he got drunk with his wine, no, he was not a willing participant, but he got raped because his son thought, okay, daddy's drunk with wine, I'm going to go get him. But the evils of drinking, though, is it makes you vulnerable, especially when you're drunk. And that's what we're learning tonight, is the evils of drinking. When you're drunk, you could see what can happen. When you're drunk, things can happen that you ordinarily would not have happen when you're sober. So, in this case, Noah would not have been as vulnerable to his son doing something to him had he not been drunken. All right, and our next scripture context is found in Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 to 36. Genesis chapter 19, verses 30 to 36. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may be preserved seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down or when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Nami, the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day.
Now here we find the story of Lot and his two daughters. This is after the situation at Sodom and Gomorrah, when Sodom and Gomorrah was judged. Now, his two daughters had escaped with him out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Lot had not gotten husbands for his daughters. And they decide, hey, we ain't got no husband. So what are we going to do? Instead of asking daddy, hey, let's, where can we need a husband. We need somebody to preserve seed for us so that we can go ahead and have children. They decide to get daddy drunk. Once again, daddy's not a willing participant because he doesn't know what's going on. He didn't know that he had lied down with his daughters. He had no clue. It makes it very clear here. He did not know when they laid with him, nor when they arose. But they ended up with child of their father, because of their trickery by getting him drunk. And you notice the groups that their children were the fathers of, the Ammonites and the Moabites, which were nations later whom God judges. So the point being here, that had these two daughters not taken and gotten their father drunk and made him vulnerable with the wine, these children would have never been born. Once again, the evils of drinking here made Lot vulnerable in a way he would not have been had he been sober. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that, when they have christened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his palace. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear.
Now you see what happens when you also drink? You become rebellious, it says. And what did they tell, did Moses tell the parents of the rebellious son to do, who became a drunkard? Meaning he lived the lifestyle of constantly drinking wine or strong drink, getting drunk all the time. He said, you bring the rebellious son out to the gates of the city, get the elders of the city, tell him that he's a rebellious son, and they gave him a rock concert in his honor. And we're not talking about Led Zeppelin either. Yes, it was hard rock, and it was not AC/DC. They rocked him to sleep. And he got stoned all right, but it wasn't on drugs like marijuana or acid either. We're talking hard rock. That's what he got. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 to 16. Joshua chapter 9, verses 1 to 16. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And it came to pass when all the kings which were on the side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work willily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua, unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him, and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure, you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now, make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry, and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto the cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon and Shephah and Beeroth and Kirjath-Jearim. And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes.
And Ruthie, you gave us two extra verses, but we'll be grateful for those, because we always like to chew on the Word of God, a little extra meat for tonight. But you notice they used wine, making it look like they were from a far country, made it look like it was old and rent, their bread old and moldy, etc., to make it appear like they traveled a farther distance, when in fact they lived a lot closer. And because the children of Israel did not seek God's face, they were tricked. Amen. So, once again, the evils of drinking on this one was using the wine bottles, making them look like they were older than they were really were. They were able to trick the children of Israel and Joshua into believing that they came from a farther country. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 to 38. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 32 to 38. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal and said, behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken, wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died.
All right, those that remember us going through this scripture before, well, remember that this text is about Nabal and David sitting there with his servants, helping Nabal with his sheep and stuff. And then when David sent his servants asking for a little bit of help
for a little bit of food or whatever as a gift, Nabal refused him. And so David was ready to come down and give revenge and kill everybody in Nabal's household. But as you could see here in this text as we were reading tonight, that Abigail brought a gift to David, and he receives it at her hand and took her advice and said, okay, I'm not going to get revenge. And as you can tell, David is sober, so he's able to listen to her and takes her advice and doesn't be vengeful and spill innocent blood. But you notice Nabal, he gets in the party spirit, gets drunk with wine. So he thinks, oh, I've got it all good. But when he woke up from his wine, Abigail tells him, look, your life was just inches from death because David, I took this stuff to him and I appeased his anger. Had I not, you would have been a dead man last night. And then when he finds out, his heart gets froze up and he's all fearful, and then he dies later because he is so fearful. So, once again, the evils of drinking here, he finds that he thought he was invincible when he really wasn't. Amen. All right, and our last scripture context before six has to guess our message in song and poem is found in 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 8 to 10. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead.
And as we could see here, this king, as soon as he gets on the throne, he thinks, aha, I'm invincible. What's he do? Get drunk. And while he's drunken, he thinks he's invincible. That's evils of drinking right there. And what happens? This other guy comes in, kills him. Wasn't so invincible, was he? Had he been sober, he would have known to be watchful. But he wasn't. So what did we learn tonight so far? That not only does the drink make you think you're better than you really are, invincible, but it makes you do things that you ordinarily would not do, such as the case of Lot and the case of Noah. And also makes you vulnerable, like in the case of Noah, where you could be raped. So that's some of the evils of drinking that we found out so far tonight. All right, but now it's that time to turn the mic over to Brother Six and see if he could tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen. Let me show you what love means.
think it's time?
Words are what you make them, your master or your slave. Words can make you friendless or bring the friends you crave. For words can make an enemy or make a faithful friend. Words can slash and rip and tear, and words can cure and mend. Some words are speeding bullets that wound or sometimes slay, and some are healing potions that drive despair away. Words can wreck and ruin. Words can build or save. Words are what you make them, your master or your slave.
All right, Six, now that you've heard that song and that poem, can you give us the common message between the two?
The common thread between the song and poem is time and love. Love. Because the word that you love, then you won't have any room to hurt anybody. So while you live and you got time, love.
Well, that is a good answer, but the right one. Amen. Because the words that we should do should be love and yes. Don't you think it's time that we should build a bridge with love? Amen.
Yeah, while everybody is, you know, wasting time hurting each other, why don't you help each other? You got time to just love.
For sure, for sure. And let's hear about some great love found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network with our great programming and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And it's nice to be back. And it's that time to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you know anyone who drinks and drives? And what happens to them when they do? Do you know anyone who drinks and drives? And what happens to them when they do? All right. But right now we're going to get back into our topic of alcohol and drinking, in specific, the evils of drinking, part one. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 13 to 21. 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 13 to 21. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it into thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. And Ahab said, By whom? And he said, Thus saith the Lord, Even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, Who shall order the battle? And he answered, Thou. Then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces, and they were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, even all the children of Israel, even 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. And the young men of the princes of the provinces went out first, And Ben-Hadad sent out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they be come out for peace, take them alive. For whether they be come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the princes of the provinces came out of the city and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man, and the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, escaped on a horse with the horsemen. And the king of Israel went out and smote the horses and chariots and slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. And the prophet came to the king of Israel and said unto him, go, strengthen thyself, and mark, and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee.
And you notice here, these kings were drinking themselves drunken, and had they not been drinking themselves drunken, they would have been ready for the battle, but they weren't. So once again, the evils of drinking here made themselves vulnerable when they should have been ready for war. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Esther chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, this is Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces, that in those days when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him, when he shewed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 104 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both unto great and small, 7 days, in the court of the garden of the king's palace, where were white, green, and blue hangings, fastened with cords of fine linen and purple, to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon pavement of red and blue and white and black marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law, none did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mahuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abasa, Thesar, and Carcass, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to shew the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him.
And here we got King Ahasuerus thinking that he's got, instead of a wife, a dog. Why? Because he's so drunk, he thinks he's got a dog. Vashti, come. Woof.
That's what he thinks. He thinks he's got a dog. Woof, woof. Come, Vashti, come. But she says, I'm not playing that game. I'm not drunk. You are. You don't call me and I don't come like a puppy dog. Look. I may be your wife, but I don't come at your beck and call. And so, what does he do? He gets mad. Why? Because he's drunk. But also, if you notice, it says that during this feast, every person drank to their own pleasure. That means that obviously some people drank until they drank until they got drunk. Others did not, but every person to their own pleasure. So obviously some people got drunk, just like the king did. So that was the evils of that drinking, that the king did something he normally probably would not have done. He probably wouldn't have treated Vashti that way had he been sober. But no, he was drunken. So, come Vashti, woof, woof. Get a life. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in Job chapter 12, verses 17 to 25. Job chapter 12, verses 17 to 25. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations, and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations, and straiteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and causeth them to wander in a wilderness where there is no way. They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man.
And here we find another downside to drinking. When you're drunken, your muscles of your body don't work the way they should. And you, what? You can't walk straight. Can't walk normal. You stagger. That's what it says. Stagger like a drunken man. And anybody who's anybody knows, when you're drunken, you can't walk straight. Don't sit there and lie saying you can. You're a liar. When you're drunk, you cannot walk the way you do when you're sober. Amen. All right. And our next scripture context is found in Psalm 107. Verses 23 through 30. Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven.
Once again, a description of the drunkard, when he's trying to walk, cannot walk steady and straight. He staggers. Amen. All right, and our last scripture context of the day is found in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 17. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 to 17. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence.
And the next thing we find out about drinking, it's the wine of violence. And tell me that when you really get drunk, that you have your faculties with you, and that you always treat people nice when you're drunk. Not really. No. Makes you argumentative and ready to pick a fight, etc., when you're really drunkard. That's why it's called the wine of violence. So what did we learn tonight? Well, we learned that you do things with wine and strong drink that you normally would not do had you been sober. Makes you vulnerable to what you would not be if you weren't drunken. And totally like Noah, makes you vulnerable and possible to rape or sexual assault. And then on top of that, like Lot, vulnerable to do something you would ordinarily not do, like Lot did with his daughters. So, in short, drinking's evils is that you would do things you normally would not do had you been sober. Amen. But right now, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you know anyone who drinks and drives, and what happens to them when they do? Do you know anyone who drinks and drives, and what happens to them when they do? But right now, we're going to pause for a few messages about station and ID and the great program to be found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, and we'll be back with you soon.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network. Started from humble beginnings in a basement, Kenneth Wolfgang, Missionary Wolfgang, has gone from the basement to the church to an outreach program with Holiness Bible. Holiness Bible has sent Bibles all the way as far as Nigeria. The outreach program then spawned to the Six Eyes Radio Network, where now he's in over 56 countries, 7 days a week, spreading the gospel. Also, the Asabila Angels, which consists of Kenneth Wolfgang and First Lady Ruthie Wolfgang, has gone around the city performing with their spiritual songs, the Asabila Angels, who also has an album out called Clearly Spoken. Also, the prayer line ran by Emily Barnum, who oversees the prayer line and also provides coloring of beautiful pictures for the children. Furthermore, with Tim Groover going over to Jerusalem with his outreach program, the Holiness Bible Outreach Program, Kenneth Wolfgang, he's a man that's on the move and doesn't take no for an answer. Despite his sight loss, he doesn't let anything stop him. He keeps going. He puts a circle around it, and he gets it done. So help First Lady and Kenneth Wolfgang on their mission to help keep spreading the gospel. The Holiness Bible Outreach Ministries. Thank you. Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2, F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are ready. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you. Won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
I believe that
Babylon the Great. In the last book of the Bible, there are two chapters of Scripture which have much to say about Babylon the Great. In chapter 17, we see a woman described as that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth, playing political dominoes with 10 nations and persecuting the saints of God. Okay, in the next chapter, the same woman is described as a great ecclesiastical power which controls much of the wealth of the earth. It follows a description of the tragic doom of Babylon the Great. It's amazing reading because the sure fulfillment of that prophecy is yet in the future. The first mentioning of Babylon in Scripture is in Genesis 10:10, where Babylon is linked with three other places as the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom. There, the construction of the ill-fated Tower of Babel was undertaken and subsequent confusion of tongues took place, Genesis 11:7. The city became the mistress of Babylonia and eventually rose to the point of becoming the political and religious center of the then known world. There are many references in the Bible relative to Babylon. Down through the years, men have tried to interpret the scriptures so as to take everything in its correct setting, even to the concluding book in the Bible, Revelation, where we have Babylon again coming into remembrance before God. In the 17th and 18th chapter of Revelation, Babylon is referred to as a woman, the mother of harlots and a great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In the world today, there is a great religious body known as the Roman Catholic Church. Several hundred million people openly and without hesitation ascribe to her many doctrines and renowned authority. Naturally, there are many people who have been open and inquiring minds, and they would like to know how the Roman Catholic Church has arrived at its position of leadership and authenticity. Let's see how the Roman Church was come on the present international scene as a worldwide ecclesiastical and political power. In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, there was a cult in Babylon, and it was known as the Babylonian cult. After the Medo and Persians took over the kingdom from the Babylonian, some 600 years prior to Jesus Christ's birth, this cult moved from Babylon to Pergamos, and King Attalus became the pontiff of the Babylonian cult. That's the first time we find the word pontiff being used anywhere in the world in connection with religious activities. Members of the ancient Babylonian cult used beads when they prayed. All they had a queen in heaven called Ishtar. They had holy water. They also said prayers for the dead as well as the sprinkling of the dead. They exercised confession to priests and received money for special prayers for getting the dead out of one place into another. In fact, that was one of their chief sources of income. Their priests did not marry. You'll find that many of the practices of the Roman Catholic Church ritual were part of the original Babylonian cult, a heathen, ungodly cult. When King Attalus died, Julius Caesar was just coming into power. 63 BC, King Attalus filled his whole kingdom to the Roman Empire. Julius Caesar took over the empire, but he had nothing to do with the Babylonian cult at that time. Then the Etruscans, a wild nomadic tribe, now a branch of the Roman Catholic Church, came up through Italy into Pergamos and became acquainted with the Babylonian cult. Immediately they took it to Rome, where it became securely established. Julius Caesar was later installed as the first pontiff of the Babylonian cult in Rome. Continuation of pontiffs went on for about 300 years until Emperor Gratian came,
to the throne. Being a Christian, he would have nothing to do with the Babylonian cult, although every Caesar from Julius Caesar on was Caesar as well as pontiff of the Babylonian cult. Some of the Caesars participated more than others, but Emperor Gratian would have nothing to do with it. So in approximately 300 AD, the government of Rome and the Babylonian cult separated. The leaders of the cult looked around for someone to be their pontiff, and they approached Bishop Damasus, who is known in history as the apostate bishop or the bishop who fell away. Bishop Damasus had been the bishop of the Christian churches at Rome for 12 years before he was approached by the Babylonian cult. Proposition was made to him that he become the pontiff of the Babylonian cult, while at the same time he would remain the bishop of the Christian churches. Bishop Damasus accepted the businesslike proposition that brought the Babylonian cult and the Christian churches in Rome together. Then in 383 AD, the Roman Catholic Church started to teach the groundless assumption that the Virgin Mary had been resurrected and was in heaven. Later in 1950, Pope Pius XII proclaimed the assumption. The reason they did this was to accommodate the teaching of the Babylonian cult that the Queen of Ishtar, Easter, was a beautiful woman in heaven. In this act of religious back scratching, we see Satan beginning the consolidation of the two religions. All Bishop Damasus had to do was accept the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church that when Jesus Christ went to heaven and said, "Father, may my mother come up here too," God the Father naturally granted his request. It was that simple. Bishop Damasus simply assumed such an approach, according to the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church, that put the Virgin Mary in heaven. This is one of their more popular teachings. The Bible says Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, 1 Corinthians 15:23. In Rome, there's a great ecclesiastical organization which mixes man-made theories with the Word of God. That's why Rome is called Babylon, the mother of harlots, because the first apostasy, the leaving of the first love, took place at the Tower of Babel, Hebrew, Babylonian, Greek. A harlot is one who leaves her first love and commits adultery. At the Tower of Babel, the first apostasy took place, and it was that one which gave birth to all other subsequent apostates. Accordingly, Babylon or Babel is the number of harlots. When the Babylonian cult removed from Babylon to Pergamos, then from Pergamos to Rome, the Bible speaks of Rome as becoming Babylon, the mother of harlots. Down through the many years I've been in the ministry, I have been searching for some document or official announcement produced by the Roman Catholic Church in which they will admit that Rome today is actually Babylon. To my utter amazement, I came across a Spring Council Knights of Columbus advertisement for a Canadian newspaper, and in it they say in part, "Shall we take the word of 20th century critics who scoff at the Holy Father and deny he is the vicar of Christ, or shall we believe the New Testament and the clear testimony of scholars dating back to the first century of Christendom? Catholics believe that the primacy of Peter is clearly established in the words of Jesus, 'Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven.' The fact of history also confirmed by the Bible that the other apostles accepted Peter as their head. Some who rejected this view say Peter was not the first bishop of Rome, which is historically an office held only by the Pope. Others assert Peter was never in Rome, yet Eusebius, faithful chronicler of many of the events of the second century, wrote, 'Paul the Apostle, the first pontiff of the Christians when he first founded the church at Antioch, proceeds to Rome, where preaching the gospel he continues 25 years as bishop of that city. Peter himself established his presence in Rome in his very first epistle, which closed with the greeting, "The church was his in salvation. Rome, interpretation by the Roman Catholic Church, salutes you." 1 Peter 5:13 in your KJV Bible. Quoted from a document produced by the Roman Catholic Church printed in a Canadian newspaper.
a predominantly Catholic country, and this newspaper advertisement that public admit that Babylon finally means Rome. In the New Testament, and especially in the book of Revelation, we read about a great whore and a great city reigning over the kings of the earth, also the ecclesiastical system, which has become great and wealthy, described as an influential city coming to an ultimate timely end, and is spoken of as Babylon the Great. With great satanic cunningness, Satan brought the Babylonian cult from Babylon to Pergamos, and from Pergamos to the ancient city of Rome to establish it there. At the right moment, when the correct man, Bishop Damasus, could be swayed by Satan in any way Satan chose, was in power at the head of the Christian churches in Rome. He brought the Babylonian cult and the Christian church together and established the now historical Roman Catholic Church. You'll still remember, outwardly, the Roman Catholic Church appears to be a church of righteousness, but whom or when you minutely and very carefully scrutinize her man-made inventions, dogmas, and doctrines under the illuminating searchlight of Holy Scripture, you'll find she is an impossible or imposter, not true to the word. Beginning with the sign of the cross and prayers for the dead in about 300 A.D., up to including the dogma of the Assumption of the Virgin in 1950, there have been 41 such heresies and human inventions by actual count. Pope Paul VI in 1965 declared Mary the mother of the church, banking 45 heresies and inventions. It's true, they seem to preach Christ as the Son of God, but Satan believes Christ is the Son of God also. The demons believe this too. Their priests pose as ministers of righteousness. This is no true evidence of godliness, because anybody can appear in something when he's really a hypocrite. The Bible says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." 2 Corinthians 11:14-15. Please remind all men who claim to be godly are not godly. You are not ignorant of this fact. Neither is this a blanket condemnation of all Roman Catholic priests. Not all Protestant ministers are godly. I'm sorry. I'm endeavoring to show you from a prophetic and scriptural standpoint that Rome is not the quiet, docile, meek, little pussycat who many would have you believe she is. Rome's objective is to become the world's number one ecclesiastical power, regardless of the drastic steps necessary to achieve that goal. The Roman Catholic Church does not preach you must be born again. John 3:7. Okay. They have a confirmation class for new members, at which time a Roman Catholic bishop dips the thumb of his right hand in the oil of chrism, which his church claims to be the oil of salvation. The bishop then puts the mark of the cross on the forehead of the individual being confirmed and says, "I seal you with the oil of salvation." This is blasphemy. Bible says we must not put a mark on our bodies in connection with the act of religious worship. Leviticus 19:28. We must not be let anybody walk or mark our bodies in connections with the spiritual service, because our bodies are not our own. They're temple of the Holy Ghost. Scripture. You know not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is in you, and ye are not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Roman Catholic Church forbids their patients or priests to marry. The Bible says that this is a doctrine of a devil. Scripture. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, "In the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." 1 Timothy 4:1-3. Bible further says we are to man on earth our father or spiritual advisor. Matthew 23:9. No man is in any position to lord it over another man spiritually, because in the eyes of God, we're all sinners, some saved by grace and others unsaved in spite of God's grace. Every member of the Roman Catholic Church is required to believe that the pontiff's interpretation of the Bible is infallible. That is, the Pope, pontiff, makes no mistakes when he interprets Scripture. No man is infallible. The Roman Catholic Church offers prayers for the dead. There's no Scripture to support this practice. The Bible says, if the tree fail or fall toward the south or toward the north, in a place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 3. In whom, Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:12. You're not forgiven of your sins in this life, my friend. It's too bad for you in the life to come. The Roman Catholics fill their churches with images. When a member enters a church, he bows his knee in the front of the marriage of image of Mary and makes the sign of the cross. Second commandment in this is 10, which the Roman Catholic Church gives to all candidates who study for confirmation, has been eliminated. That's the second commandment of their 10, or that they have been eliminated in their church literature. In order to show 10 commandments, they have split the Ten Commandments and made two out of it, so they read. Commandment number 9, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Commandment number 10, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. Both of these commandments belong to the original 10th commandment. The Roman Catholic Church has eliminated from confirmation of the last literature, second commandment, which says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that in the earth beneath, thou shalt not bow down to, or thyself to them, excuse me. Please see Exodus 20, 4 through 5, and please note verse 17. This letter was given the commandment which, or this letter, excuse me, give the commandment which the Roman Catholic Church has split into two commandments. Bible very plainly warns against nobody or any adding to or subtracting from God's word. The Roman Catholic Church both adds and subtracts. The scripture says it should not be done. Scripture, and if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which were written in this book. Revelation 22, verses 18 to 19. The Roman Catholic Church observes Lent, Holy Week, Black Friday, Ash Wednesday, Shrove Tuesday, and exercises. Why do they keep these days and observe these times and seasons? As Christians, we have spiritual liberty because we're born again and we're very new creatures in Christ. 2 Thessalonians 5:17. We have Christ himself dwelling within us. And there's no need for us to practice these heathen observances. Scripture. You observe days and months and times and years. I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Galatians 4, 10 through 11. Some people reading or actually listening to this may get angry and say, I don't think you have any right to jump on Roman Catholics. My dear listener, I'm not jumping on anybody. I'm simply comparing the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church was originally in the Babylonian cult, which the Holy Word of God, the only thought in my mind being, has any change or alteration been made? Scripture plainly tells us, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, meaning damned. Galatians 1:8. You see, because of sin, the world and its inhabitants are heading toward a horrifying climax. In the end of this age, there must be a good, great satanic force on the earth controlling the majority of mankind in order that Satan's Antichrist can come into power and be economically and militarily undergirded. The Babylonian cult, now the Roman Catholic Church, together with its incomparable leader, the Pope, will be an outstanding ministry instrument of religious persuasion in the fulfillment of certain prophecies in the end of this age. This is borne out in the 11th or 13th chapter of Revelation, beginning with verse 11 and continuing through verse 18. where herein we see another beast working side by side with Satan's Antichrist, saying, exercising all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. Revelation 13:12. God has therefore permitted the Roman Catholic Church to come on the world scene and grow into a powerful international religious organization with representative churches in practically every country of the world. So when the time appointed by God arrives, Satan's Antichrist will have a ready-made power that prepared to back him up. The Bible tells us the Antichrist and the leader of the Roman Catholic Church are to be associated together in a large city built on seven hills. This clearly indicates Rome. Scripture, the seven heads are seven mountains, hills, on which the woman sitteth. And the woman which thou sawest is great, that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Revelation 17:9-18. Please remember the Roman Catholic Church is simply the old Babylonian cult diluted with an element of biblical Christianity and ingenuously expanded to meet the challenge of the 20th century for the sake of bringing on the world scene a one world church. After the one world church has come into existence and served its ultimate purpose, the destruction of the Roman Catholic Church and Vatican City will follow. This is very carefully set forth in the 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Please read the indisputable facts for yourself from Holy Scripture. Therefore, as I read a Knights of Columbus Catholic Organization advertisement in a Canadian newspaper in which the Roman Catholic Church publicly declares that Babylon of New Testament Scripture is Rome, and I must boldly declare unto you that Babylon of the Book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, is also Rome. These calamities prophesied relative to Rome, Babylon, of Revelation must come to pass. God is removing any element of doubt relative to a full and complete understanding of his word in our day. Thank God for the Bible. And the next lesson will be God's master plan.
And thank you, Ruth, for that great information about Babylon the Great. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause to hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on The Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hallelujah, we're back, and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Do you know anybody who drinks and drives, and what happens to them when they do? Do you know anyone who drinks and drives, and what happens to them when they do? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
course, we always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. Now we have you, we have Sister Lila, Jim, and me.
All right. Well, we'll start with Lila. You got your coffee there, Lila? Is her mic open, Rue?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, your mic's open, Lila. You got to unmute yourself if you want to talk. Well, we'll give her a chance here in a sec, Ruth. We'll let you go ahead and answer the question of the day. Do you know anybody who drinks and drives, and what happens to them when they do?
I don't know anybody, but it would be just like that text and drive commercial that end up in a wreck.
Well, actually, I've known some people that drunk and drive. They actually didn't get in trouble, but they did get their license revoked for a while. But knowing the ultimate end for those, yeah, they could get in a wreck and or die. Yeah, so, I mean, it could be very disastrous if they continued. But they were lucky and blessed that they didn't get killed. So, yes, you're right on that point that they could have had worse than they had done, but just losing only their license for a while. Okay, is Sister Lila, you still there, or you sleep on us? Looks like she's asleep, Ruth. So what we'll do, we'll let you close us in a word of prayer, and we'll end with our Red Sylvine song.
Lord, we thank you for another day, and we just hope and pray everyone had a good time tonight and got healed or saved, whatever they needed. And you know all the requests, Lord. You got mail, because I can't think of everybody. So I think I'll let you handle it, Lord. So, and I just want to praise your name. Amen.
Amen. And now we just want to remind everybody about the open programming tomorrow. And then, of course, on Sunday, the Sunday Gospel Show, 1 p.m. Eastern, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We'll catch you then. And here is our Red Sylvine song. We hope everybody enjoys, and we'll catch you later. God bless.
I got tangled up in the old doormat, fell flat as I could be. I fell and broke a bottle of gin, and I didn't have no more. The cap flew off when I fell down and spilled it on the floor. A rat came out of his hiding place, and he got that whiskey scent. He ran right out, and he got a little shot, and back to his hole he went. Back to his hole he went. Back to his hole he went. He ran right out and he got a little shot and back to his home he went. The rat came out of his hole again, went up to the gin on the floor. A little bit shy, but he winked one eye and he got him a little bit more. He didn't go back to his hole that time, but he stayed by the puddle of gin. He said, doggone my pop-eyed soul, I'm gonna get drunk again. He washed his face with his front feet and on his hind legs sat with a twisted smile and a half-closed eye. Said, where's that barn cat? He didn't go back to his hole. He said, doggone my soul, I'm only a rat, but a daggone cat can't run me back to my hole. His little old eyes began to shine and he lapped up more and more. It made me glad that I fell down and spilled it on the floor. But soon that little old puddle was dry and there wasn't any more gin. The little old rat was having a time when the old tomcat walked in. The cat made a pass and the rat made a dash and his boldness faded thin. The cat jumped over and the rat got sober and back to his hole he went. Back to his hole he went. back to his hole he went. The cat jumped over and the rat got sober, and back to his hole he went.